today is the appearance of Srivas Thakur, Srivas Pandit. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Sri Srivas is one of the Panchatattva. So here's a verse that celebrates the Panchatattva or glorifies the Panchatattva. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Surupakam Bhaktyavataram Bhaktyakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Translation: let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five: as a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So that's in five: as devotee, that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu; expansion of a devotee, Nityananda Prabhu; incarnation of a devotee, Sri Advaita Prabhu; pure devotee, Sri Gadadhar; and devotional energy, Srivas Pandit. So today is the appearance of Srivas Pandit. I'm going to read a little bit from some selections that I took from various places. So this is from the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika. The intelligent Srivas Pandit was previously Narada Muni, best of the sages. Srivas's younger brother, Sriman Ram Pandit, was Narada's close friend, Parvata Muni. Now, Srila Vrindavandas Thakur wrote in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, "It was in Srivas Pandit's house that Sri Chaitanya enacted his pastimes of Sankirtan. The four brothers, Srivas, Sriram, Shripati, and Srinidhi, were continuously engaged in singing the names of Sri Krishna. They worshipped Sri Krishna and bathed in the Ganges thrice daily." So, of course, this is an important role of Srivas Pandit. He was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout. He came to Jagannath Puri when Mahaprabhu was there. But in the beginning, it was in his house that Mahaprabhu performed the Sankirtan. And the secretive Sankirtan, it was closed. Normally, Prabhupada explains, normally Sankirtan is open. It's in the public. But in this case, Mahaprabhu was chanting in ecstasy in Srivas Thakur's house. So this is an important role for Srivas Thakur. It was in his house that this entire movement, this entire Sankirtan movement, began. So this was his role. So here's a couple of pastimes that I'm sure most of you know. Gopal Chapal. There was a regular kirtan at Srivas Thakur's house, and because he would lock the doors, some people became angry. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that being excluded, some of these people burned with envy and plotted against Srivas Thakur. Their leader was a Brahmana named Gopal Chapal. He assembled paraphernalia for the worship of the goddess Bhavani Durga and placed it outside Srivas Thakur's door to defame him, because generally the worshippers of the goddess Bhavani Durga or Kali are considered lower class. They drink wine and eat meat. Gopal Chapala wanted to defame Srivas Thakur, so he placed a pot of wine alongside the paraphernalia. In the morning, when Srivas Thakur opened the door and saw all the paraphernalia, he immediately called for the respectable gentlemen of the neighborhood. He told them, "Just see, here is the paraphernalia for the worship of Bhavani." There was a banana leaf and some rice and red sandalwood paste and the jug of wine. He said, every night I worship the goddess Bhavani. Now all of you respectable gentlemen can understand my actual position, who I really am, and you can take whatever action you deem fit. Of course, the respectable brahmanas and other respectable persons understood what had happened, that some envious person wanted to defame Srivast Thakur's house, so they called for a sweeper to dispose of all the untouchable things and purify the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. 3 days later, Gopal Chapala was afflicted with leprosy. Blood oozed from sores all over his body, and germs and insects attacked him. One day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed nearby, Gopal Chapala appealed to him, you are an incarnation of God. You have come to deliver the fallen souls. I am very fallen and wretched, so please deliver me. Although Gopal Chapala was very sinful and insulting, it seems that he had one good quality. He was simple. He accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and had faith that he could deliver him. But Mahaprabhu called him a sinner and told him, because of your sins, you are suffering. You are envious of the pure devotees. That is the worst sin. I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall see you bitten by these germs for millions of years. For your offense against Srivast Thakur, you will fall into hellish conditions for millions of lifetimes. He is my pure devotee. After some time passed, Gopala Chapala actually took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord mercifully instructed him, if you approach Srivast Thakur and get his mercy, and if you do not commit such sins again, you will be freed from the effects of your offenses. And that is the only way to be relieved from Vaishnava Aparadha. It is the recommended way and the fastest way to go to the Vaishnava you have offended, throw yourself at his feet and beg for forgiveness. Gopala Chapala did that. He took shelter of the lotus feet of Srivast Thakur, and by Srivast's mercy, he was freed from all sinful reactions. Srivast Thakur ki jai. So this is another story about an austere brahmachari who wanted to gain access to Mahaprabhu's sankirtan in Srivast Thakur's house. Up to what time is it generally? 8:30? 8:30. Okay, we'll try to end before then. Then there was another person, a brahmachari, who practiced austerities and ate only milk and fruits. Repeatedly, he was a vegan. No. Repeatedly, he begged Srivast Pandit, please allow me to witness the sankirtan in your house at night. I will be ever grateful to you. Finally, Srivast Pandit relented. I know you are a good soul. You are a strict brahmachari and eat only fruit and milk. I think you are eligible to see the Lord's dancing, but you will have to remain hidden because the Lord has ordered that no one is allowed in the house. Srivast Pandit hid the brahmachari inside the house. During the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya and his other associates chanted and danced, but they did not experience their usual ecstasy. Soon the Lord remarked, today I do not feel the same ecstasy while dancing. Perhaps someone is hiding in the house. Please tell the truth. Srivast Pandit became afraid and said, my Lord, there is only a brahmachari, a qualified sinless brahmachari who eats only milk and fruits. He had a strong desire to see you dance. The Lord became furious and said, take him out of this house immediately. What is his qualification to see my dancing? How can one develop devotion to me simply by drinking milk? Or being vegan. Did he say that? I don't know. The Lord declared, just by drinking milk, no one can attain me. A person may be a renunciate without mundane attachment, but if he does not surrender to me, I do not accept him. On the other hand, even a low-caste dog-eater who takes full shelter of me, I accept. By now, the brahmachari was trembling with fear, and he came out of hiding. Still, he thought, I was so fortunate to see the Lord dance, and now I am receiving the appropriate punishment. He accepted the Lord's chastisement as mercy. And the Lord, understanding the brahmachari's heart, blessed him. He told him, do not try to attain power through austerities. Rather, render loving service unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. That is the highest activity. And the Lord placed his lotus feet on the brahmachari's head. So this final section that I'd like to read is Srivas Pandit's interaction with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then I'd like to comment a little bit on this. This is from Adi Lila, 17th chapter. In ecstasy, the Lord asked Srivas Thakur to deliver his flute. But Srivas Thakur replied, your flute has been stolen away by the gopis. Hearing this reply, the Lord said in ecstasy, go on talking, go on talking. Thus Srivas described the transcendental mellows of the pastimes of Sri Vrindavan. Excuse me. In the beginning, Srivas Thakur described the transcendental sweetness of Vrindavan pastimes. Hearing this, the Lord felt great and increased jubilation in his heart. Thereafter, the Lord again and again asked him, speak on, speak on. Thus, Srivas again and again described the pastimes of Vrindavan, vividly expanding them. Srivas Thakur extensively explained how the gopis were attracted to the forests of Vrindavan by the vibration of Krishna's flute and how they wandered together in the forest. Srivas Pandit narrated all the pastimes enacted during the 6 changing seasons. He described the drinking of honey, the celebration of the rasa dance, the swimming in the Jamuna, and other such incidents. When the Lord, hearing with great pleasure, said, go on speaking, go on speaking, Srivas Thakur described the Rasa Leela dance, which is filled with transcendental mellows. As the Lord thus requested, and Srivas Thakur spoke, the morning appeared, and the Lord embraced Srivas Thakur. Pancha tattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So these leelas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here it describes how Mahaprabhu enjoyed the leelas, hearing the leelas from Srivas Pandit. And later in Jagannath Puri, he loved to interact with Surup Damdar and Ramananda Roy discussing these leelas. Vishnu, Krishna, one time during the recitation of Vishnu Sahasranam, Mahaprabhu heard the name Nrsingha, and he became like Nrsingha. So Vishnu, Krishna, these leelas are important to devotees. We have Rathyatra festival. We have many festivals. In Mayapur, there's a grand Braha, I've seen pictures of these festivals. And so Dashavatar and many, many Krishna Leela festivals in Los Angeles. Prabhupada wrote to Aniruddha. Did I say this last time? Prabhupada in Toronto, Prabhupada visited the big cathedral, and the Christians, especially Catholics, they honor these stations of Christ. What is it? Seven stations, I think. I wasn't a Catholic. No Catholics here, I guess. So they honor stations of Christ and saints. They have parades, festivals. But Prabhupada wrote to Aniruddha and said that we can have unlimited festivals in unlimited cities around the world. So these Leela festivals, these Leela celebrations, are part of our core activities. We have one Rathyatra, but we can have many such festivals. Maybe once a month we can go out, have a grand festival, spend £1 million or something. If we don't have much money, we could spend $750,000 or something. And then Rathyatra, even grander Rathyatra. And in that way have many festivals. And festivals in different villages throughout the greater London area. Like this, the Sankirtan movement can be expanded based on these Leela celebrations, because this is what attracts people. Harinam Sankirtan, but along with the Harinam Sankirtan are Leela celebrations. Obviously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated these Leela discussions. So Mahaprabhu was the basis of Sankirtan is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But Leelas also, and all these names. We were just celebrating the Leelas at the beginning of this class. Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunjabihari, immediately, a Leela. Girivaradhari. So what is Girivaradhari? Is it Krishna is lifting Govardhan. So Leelas everywhere. Even when we chant the names of Krishna, those are Leelas. So Leelas and Namas are intertwined. Very much so. And in Vrindavan, I used to really like the Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Provesha Nidra Charito Jiva Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Hayagriva. So all these names of Krishna, but also Leelas. These are also remind us of Leelas. Jamuna Banachari. So Krishna Achari, he goes along the Jamuna. So the Leelas, and people will be attracted to both Leelas and Namas. And this is the culture, the Vaishnava culture, that Of course, Mahaprabhu was an embodiment of this kind of enjoyment, a direct enjoyment as Krishna himself. He was enjoying these leelas and namas. But the entire culture, hundreds of millions of people, if we look carefully, this is at the heart of the entire culture. It's not just that Mahaprabhu was doing something extraordinary, completely different from the culture. The culture has existed for thousands of years, and even prior to Mahaprabhu, he respected the Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev composed many songs about leelas, Krishna avatars, Vishnu avatar. So Mahaprabhu had his favorites. And in the entire South Asia, I don't like to say India, because South Asia, it includes India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, East Bengal, West Bengal, Sri Lanka, all these places. And further, if you go back thousands of years, you'll see how much impact the culture had throughout the entire area. Even in China, other places, they say in Russia, some places, and Southeast Asia. We know Southeast Asia, even today, they do puppet shows of Ramayana and Mahabharata. So what are these puppet shows of Ramayana and Mahabharata? Leelas. They're enacting leelas from Ramayana and Mahabharata. So this leela pervades everything. It pervades art. If you think of all the art, look at these leelas. Nrsingha is Vishnu leela. Prabhupada, Chaitanya leela. I can't see. So all these leelas, even this expansion of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and creation of the material universe is a kind of leela of Krishna. Everything is leela. So leela in art, sculpture, in drama, Prabhupada mentions in his Bhagavatam, and I learned in India, there's in the old times, there was something called yatras. Yatras used to travel, drama troops used to travel from village to village, and they did different leela plays for the enjoyment of the villagers. And I met one man, I was talking like this, and I met one young man who grew up in a village. He said, yes, every year we used to do Ram Leela. Excuse me, Ram Leela. And for weeks before, we would talk about it. And afterwards, we would say, oh, this person did such a wonderful job as Lakshman. And like this. These are the Leelas of the Vaishnava culture. Drama. Once in Calcutta, I saw a drama of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bengal, they tend to depict Mahaprabhu based on Chaitanya Bhagavat. So they show Mahaprabhu's life up to the time he took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri. So they don't discuss Jagannath Puri, just up to the time he left. So here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his mother was mother Sachi. Sorry, Sachi Ma. She was such a beautiful singer, and so here's Chaitanya in his life. He's getting married, and then he gets initiated, and then he sneaks away in the night, and that's the end of the play. So he goes away, and Sachi Ma comes out with this beautiful voice. She says, Nimai, Nimai. She's calling out for Mahaprabhu in separation. And I looked around. All the Bengali ladies were crying. And how many times have they heard this story? How many times have they seen this? So this is Vaishnav culture. They don't require a new movie every week to come out. They take enjoyment in these leelas. So drama and festivals. We know Rath Yatra, grand festivals in South India, North India, East India, West India, all these festivals that take place, that come out of the temples, deity processions that come out of the temple. And even the worship itself. Our worship is different from the worship in the Abrahamic religions in, among Jews, Christians, and Muslims. They glorify God. Yes, God is great. Glorify God. Pray to God. This is nice. But when we offer arti, we're offering this great personality has come into our house. Or we come into the house of Radha Gokulananda and we offer arti. And these articles are articles of greeting a great personality. So we wash his feet, we wipe the water off of his feet, offer lights, incense. So this is all our relationship in Leela. This is a kind of Leela with Krishna. And some people in some parts of India, they worship Bal Krishna, Radha Krishna, Narayana. It's all doing arti, having this relationship with Vishnu, Krishna. It's Leela. And Nama, it goes with it. Hare Krishna, Narayana, Shri Ram, Jai Ram. So this is the culture. So my idea, I've written these books. This one is Hare Krishna. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Gaur Nitai. So I've written these books. It took a long time, about 2 years, full time writing and researching. There's 1,000 footnotes in here, well-researched. And this is for a college, university course. Not really for light reading, although Rupa Vilas insists that it could be for light reading. You said that once, something like that. This one is an abbreviated version. It's simplified, and it's also cut back and summarized. This is only 100 pages. This one is 450. This is 100 pages. And it's made into a 15-hour course. So much simpler course. And I spoke to Vishaka. She said that perhaps this course could be offered here. We have to see whether that's practical or not. And there might be a component, maybe a one-hour component, that would even be a further summary of this idea in within the Bhakti Shastri or something like that. So a Bhakti Shastri, a one similar type course. So the idea is that the culture, the Vaishnava culture, is based on the Leela and Nama. So where does that get us then? In the modern culture, modern society, that's global, now global, it's very materialistic. But what's a byproduct of that materialistic culture? Byproduct is one of the most negative byproducts that's visible. It's apparent to most people, not everyone, but most people can see that there is destruction of nature. Many things, water depletion, deforestation, air pollution, land pollution, ocean contamination, and species extinction, natural resource depletion. So on and on, I'm sure I'm missing some, but these are major issues. It's not just they fight over global warming. Oh, is it this? Is it that? You know, is it a real thing? If not, we don't even have to touch on that. There are so many things that this materialistic society is doing. So this is, I was just mentioning in the car here, this is physical proof of sense gratification. We don't have to say philosophically, jayato vishayan pungsa sangaste shupajayate sangat sangjayate kama kamat krodho bajayate, so forth. We don't have to spout all this philosophy that people may or may not understand. We can say directly, this is the result of the materialistic society. Here you have it. Physical proof. You want something in front of your eyes? You say, I can't see God, prove God. All right, so never mind God. This is what you're doing. Physical proof of what you're doing. And we have a society that's based on lilas and namas, and it's far more harmonious with nature. And what is the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When he discusses the lilas, when he chants the holy name, he's in ecstasy. He's not worrying about having a Mercedes or, of course, there's no Mercedes, but he's not worried about any materialistic thing. It's simple life and all his associates, lila and nama. This is the complete life. And in the entire culture, of course, within that culture, not everyone is perfect, but the average consumption, the average interest of the people is lila and nama. Rupa Vilas has this wonderful story. Could you tell that story just briefly about the villagers who come to Vrindavan? I love that story. He keeps thinking that he's never told it to me. He's told it to me 50 times already. Please.
Well, this is during a time I actually lived in Vrindavan. And sometimes the villagers would come to Vrindavan because they wanted to go to all the temples, and they would arrive, they would sometimes travel all night in ox carts, and they would sleep on the ox carts. Apparently the oxen knew the way. And well, they would arrive in Vrindavan in a kind of a state of tremendous anticipation. They would come into the temple, you know, in their very simple clothes, and they would dance and sing in front of the deities. They would give whatever little donation they could, and then they would go to all the different temples of Vrindavan. That was their fun. They anticipated and relished it like anything. You know, that was their celebration. So I mean, this culture, it was inspiring to see it, because you could see that this was their whole life. You know, they were working hard and growing their crops, and then for entertainment, come to Vrindavan and have ecstatic pastimes going to the various temples and seeing how the deities were being dressed and worshipped. That was their fun.
So the point I'm trying to make here in these books and courses is that we have something that we can offer to people, and hopefully young people. Young people are concerned about the environment, especially. This young girl, Greta Thunberg. I really admire Greta Thunberg, but I disagree 100% with what she stands for. It's a socialist, liberal position without God. But she has 2 million followers around the world, young people, that if she says the word, they'll leave their class, school on Friday, come out and demonstrate. So 2 million. So when I see those numbers, 2 million people, I say to myself, where's our share? We should be getting some of these people. When I see numbers, any number, military, 1 million people, military, people want to join something. They want to join a group. I read one sociologist. He said, sometimes when people are in transition, they're just looking for something. They're searching. And they want to join something, have a group or a family, or they identify with something they can identify with. And you give them some philosophy, something, and they grab hold of it. So just think of all these other groups. How dry is it? You just get to go skip school on Friday and go out and demonstrate for the environment. You become a fascist and you go out and demonstrate and that's all. You know, you object to the immigrants. That's your whole thing. Or a liberal. We talk about utopia, some kind of, we're going to eradicate hunger or this or that. You know, you have some dream in your head. Or you join the military, and you're going to go off and die for your country. These things are shallow. We have leelas. Look at this. We have so much to offer. All these leelas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going into ecstasy about. And then all these villagers, they come, they're excited, they come to Vrindavan. This really is the example of how the leelas affect the entire culture. And what did I miss? Prasad. Prasad. And the association of devotees, sadhu sangha. It's so important. So we have quite a lot to give. And my point here is that I think that it's wonderful what we're doing. We're preaching. And I really, I revere, I admire the core team here, the devotees here. You're so wonderful, and I'm so happy to have your association. But I think we can expand more. 100. We have big problems. This introduces big problems. What if you have 100 devotees, more, 100 more? Oh, how will we get them in the temple? Oh, big problems. And then 250 we have. Then, where will they all sleep? But that's the idea. We want to introduce these big problems. And I used to be temple president in Seven Berry Place. And it's a small place, smaller than Soho Street. And devotees would sleep on the landing. You go up the stairs and you come to the landing, where then you turn to go up another set. So devotees would sleep on there. And Rupa Vilas was saying, where was it? They were sleeping on the stairway? Here. Sleeping on the stairs. No place to sleep. Sleeping on the stairs. I remember one time we came in San Francisco for Rath Yatra. And, of course, everyone would converge and then take part in the Rath Yatra. Everyone, meaning all the devotees from the local temples in San Francisco, all the devotees from the entire West Coast of the United States. So somehow I ended up sleeping in the doorway of the Brahmacharya Ashram. And that is the worst place. I don't recommend it, because all night long, devotees stepping over to go to the bathroom or whatever they were doing, you know, stepping over. Then we got up, and one devotee had his thumb in his brown thread. He slept all night in front of Prabhupada like this. So these are the kind of problems that we want. And then one devotee says, we have this new brahmachari just joined. He's a really nice devotee. It's amazing, you know. So he said, go look in the temple, Diana. He's chanting in the temple. And I don't know why. He was like this special devotee, you know. So he's chanting in the temple, you know, looking at all the pictures. And that was Jayapataka. So this is the way. We want to collect devotees, cause ourselves lots of problems. We don't want the easy life. That's not our style. So I think that social revolution or social activism is appealing to people. I think it casts a wider net. And at the heart of this is leelas and namas, enjoying. And that's the way this culture, the Vaishnava culture, redirects attention and enjoyment away from the materialistic overconsumption and destruction of the material, of the nature. So if we can preach like this, collect people, obviously not everybody, but we go around and we start talking like this, people will join. People will be interested. And then we get problems, you know. Some guy's crazy, some girl's crazy, what do we do? Who's qualified to come in the temple? Who's not qualified? Who's going to create a disturbance? Who's not? Okay, then we weed those people out. We're getting some nice, good quality people in. And oh, now we have too many. What do we do now? These are the kind of problems we need to have. So, I intended to speak 20 minutes, and that's good. Then if I do that, then I end on time. And now we have a little time for a few questions or comments. Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Oops. Thank you so much for the nice class, Prabhu. I just had a quick question. You were mentioning about how we maybe can connect with the kind of materialistic society by showing them how, at the moment, society is steering in a direction which is not very good, and how self-sustaining farms or whatever and simple lifestyle can actually help them. And I'm just wondering, if we bring people in like that, how do we bring them to the next step of accepting Krishna consciousness, and what do we do with the people which might not be ready to go that next step to accept Krishna consciousness?
Okay, first of all, I never mentioned farms. That's what you mentioned. Because my Sankirtan Yajna is at the heart of Varnashram Dharma. Yajna must be established first. The Sankirtan economy comes first, then the agrarian economy. So this is the way Prabhupada operated. In the beginning, he established Sankirtan. We have so much to do with Sankirtan. The way we attract people is through Sankirtan. We don't have a history of being able to attract people through farms. And we don't have the wonderful, wonderful developed farms that can do that. But we have the wonderful, wonderful developed Sankirtan already, and we can simply expand it even more. We know how to do that also. And when you say speak to society, materialistic, we're not speaking to materialistic society. We're catching a hold of somebody. We go out We're not distributing books to materialistic society. We go and we talk one person, and as soon as one person stops, we grab a hold of him and say, this is what you have to do. You have to buy this book, or you have to come with us and learn about how we are environmentally friendly, because we have a different kind of enjoyment. We enjoy leelas and namas. Learn about this enjoyment. Come with us. Learn how to enjoy. You don't know how to enjoy. What kind of enjoyment is that? You destroy everything. What if you were at home and you started beating the walls down with a hammer and slapping your wife around, and even, you know what they're doing? They're killing their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They're going to die because the current generation is using all the resources. So how would it be if you lived in your house and you did all that? That's not enjoyment. We know how to enjoy, really, on a non-exploitative, non-destructive way. So come learn this. This is practical. You can learn it. So this is the kind of thing. It's not, we don't care what society thinks. We want to get 1, 2, 5, 20, 10, 50. We can't worry about all of society. That's too big. Let's just increase our numbers little by little. And then when we start increasing, then we can get 1,000 or 2,000. But that's sort of a dream that we can have. That's nice. But so is that response okay? It's a little strong.
Hare Krishna. One thing convincing people outside, how do we convince the managers of ISKCON that Leelas and Sankirtan is the way? I
think that my experience is that this is often a major excuse for not doing anything. That we assume that if the managers say yes or if the managers say no, that everything will happen or not happen. The troops also have their independence to some degree. So if you feel that you're Prabhupada often said to devotees that didami buddhi ogantam, that Krishna gives the intelligence. So devotees can use their intelligence to preach, even if you're doing something totally under the control of the management or the leadership. You can still find time to preach and distribute books, or if you can't distribute books, you can talk to people who you meet and tell them that we have this wonderful solution to environmental difficulties. There's time. Excuse me. Yes. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. My question is, I heard someone say yesterday that what if I'm really open to all these philosophies and this lifestyle. You guys seem very, very nice. However, I'm not sure if I start to just ground myself in this one type of ideology for them, you know, philosophy, and this one singular book of stories, then where am I going to get something else? What if, you know, they want something else? Because I feel when we're in materialistic life, it's all about, you know, I want something more, something newer. And that mentality is not so easy to break. So if we're trying to recommend to people that, oh, look, we have this very environmentally friendly way of living, mm-hmm. whereby we only hear one type of story, that might be too alien. So how do you kind of go about bridging that gap between their perception and our recommendation?
Yes. Well, if you go to university, you can major in English, you can major in physics, but you have to make a decision what your major is. You can go for a couple of years and change your major, you know, from English to physics or law or music, but you have to make a decision. You have to spend some time. You have to be serious about this. If you just want to imagine something that I can't do this because, oh, you have a philosophy. No, I can't do this. But the fact is that you're stuck in your present situation. If you can't understand that you're, and I'm not speaking to you, of course, I'm speaking to this person. If you can't understand that your position is not very good, you live in a society that's destroying nature, you should try to understand that at least first. And then you spend a couple of years with us, living with us. If you don't like it, then you go somewhere else. But you have to spend a little time. You have to be serious about it. You come for 2 weeks, and then if you think it's okay, spend 2 years. But be serious about this, and then change. Become a Greek Orthodox or something. Or become a physicist if you think that will solve the problem. It's not just philosophy, this ideology or this philosophy. We don't have an ideology. We don't just have a philosophy. We have a practice that's proven, and we have a culture that proves that it's harmonious with nature. It's a proven fact. We don't have to have faith in a future promise that technology will solve the problems, that the treaty decided in Cairo or Glasgow, or that the laws that will be passed, that there will be zero emissions by 2050. Who can promise something in the future? I promise that in 5 years, you will be a millionaire. I can promise anything. It's ridiculous. Promise. They can't promise. So, and we don't have to make these promises. We're not pushing an ideology, socialist ideology, capitalist, whatever it is. We're encouraging people to see how something really works, how this culture really works, how the lilas and namas really work. Then, if you're not interested in experiencing, that's fine. But you have to be a little serious to taste this. You have to actually get the experience. You can't just say, "Well, here I'm going to give you a plate of prasadam." You say, "Well, I don't know. I really like, you know, this is nice food you're offering, but, you know, there's so many other types of foods, you know. There's, you know, spaghetti, there's this one, and never eating any of it. It's not realistic." I'm sorry, there was one other point that I wanted to address.
Well, I mentioned just there's a perception of we all want more new things, like that's exciting and etc.
Yes, we all want more new things, but that's a little whimsical because we have to work for one thing. Anyone who has self-discipline, who goes to a university or who wants to improve their body or has a diet, who reduces, they have to do this kind of discipline on a regular basis, and then they can get good health, and they can be a little trim and fit, or they go to university. Every day they have to study. So this is common. You have to do this. Not every day changing this thing, that thing. That's not very intelligent.
Thank you.
Please, yes.
Hare Krishna. You said we want difficult life. You said we want difficult life.
Difficult life?
You mentioned that.
As devotees.
As yes. Devotees.
This is our austerity. We have to put up with so many...
And you have lived it yourself, but I'm sure the difficulties you had here is nothing compared to the difficulties you had when you were preaching in Iran. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Maserati call me.
Hare Krishna.
No, Prabhupada told us to go everywhere in the world and to spread Krishna consciousness. I had the good fortune to go to Iran, and by the time it was in the previous government, it wasn't the Islamic government. So by the time there was the revolution, there was already some brahmacharis, some young women, just a few, four or five. But then on the basis of these young Iranian devotees, then more and more roots grew. And today there's devotees there. They have to be a little quiet, but still there are devotees. So a little difficult. Okay, I'll tell one thing. Just when we first got there, Trey Rishi, who was in charge, he sat us down. He said, "All right, now you be careful